The Old Testament reading for the Transfiguration of our Lord is from 2 Kings, chapter 2. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elijah and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you?" And he said, "Yes, I know it. Keep quiet." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The sons of the prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know it. Keep quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you live, you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the sons of the prophets also went and stood at some distance from them, as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his cloak and rolled it up and struck the water, and the water was parted to one side and to the other, till the two of them could go over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "Please, let there be a double portion of your spirit on me." And he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet, if you see me as I am being taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so." And they still went on and talked. Behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, "My father, my father! The chariots of Israel and its horsemen," and he saw him no more. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 2 Corinthians, chapters 3 and 4. Since we have had such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened, for to this day, when they read the old covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses and one for Elijah. For he did not know what to say, for they were terrified. And a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud. This is my beloved Son, listen to him. And suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them, but Jesus only. And as they were coming down from the mountain, he charged them to tell no one what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was our gospel lesson. Well, we finally made it to the end of the Epiphany season. It began with the identification of the Christ child, and it ends today, or culminates today, in Transfiguration Sunday. Jesus' full identity is revealed in a very dramatic way. After the Transfiguration, there's no doubt that he is Savior, he is Lord, he is the Son of God. For us, there's something nagging within each one of us, deep down, that we're not there yet. We struggle with daily life, whether that's relationships, next meal, house or car payment, where is it coming from? 60% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck, so these are daily concerns for many people. Another question we'll ask ourselves, why am I here? There's a hole in our life. There's a big gaping hole that can only be filled by God. We need somebody to look up to. We need someone who won't let us down. Hollywood has made billions of dollars on making ordinary people into superheroes. For some of us that like older movies, older movies, Gary Cooper in High Noon, ordinary man, was raised to hero status. Or if you're into superheroes or at least familiar with them, Clark Kent being Superman or Peter Parker being Spider-Man. There's a lot that appeals to people to have a savior, a rescuer, somebody who can restore the messes in our lives. But they're all fictional characters, obviously. We need a real savior. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up to a mountain to pray. And in the gospel lesson, it says Jesus' clothes became whiter than any way. His clothes became whiter than anything that man could bleach white. Jesus is not seen as just some mortal. He was very God of very God, light of light, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, who existed before the world began, and by whom the heavens and the earth were made. Going back to the superheroes for a second, there's this question I've always had about them. Why do they have to be in disguise? Let's just pick on Clark Kent for a second. Superman, he wears glasses as Clark Kent. Nobody recognizes him. If I take my glasses off, you're going to know who I am. Right? Doesn't make sense to me. Or why Bruce Wayne has to put on a full get-up and costume just to be Batman. Why does Jesus then take on an image itself? There's an important reason for this. Man cannot stand face to face with God and live. Jesus needed to veil his identity to be God with us. The second reason that he had to assume humanity's form was to be our substitute, so he could fully fulfill the law in our place. He traded his holiness for our sinfulness, and he paid the penalty for our sin. Jesus in human form is us not an alter ego, but is the only way to restore the relationship between God and man. Witnesses were needed to testify to this event. That's why Peter, James, and John were there. Jesus was about to turn the religious world on end. Moses represented the law. He had been chosen by God at the burning bush to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt and to the promised land. He was also led by God to write the first five books of the Bible. Moses is the giver of the law. And then we have Elijah. He represents the prophets. And we know quite a bit about Elijah. He's the one that confronted the prophets of Baal. There'd been a drought for 3 years in the land. And the prophets of Baal said, if we just perform these religious rituals correctly, Baal will make it rain on the earth. Well, it hadn't rained for 3 years. And Elijah challenged them to a contest. They each built an altar, put an oxen on it, and then tried to light it on fire just by their prayers alone. Well, the prophets of Baal, they tried that. They cut themselves. They wailed. They screamed. Nothing happened. Then Elijah comes up, and he has his entire altar doused in water, and then flame comes down from heaven and envelops it all. And in our Old Testament lesson today, he's taken into heaven by a chariot. Moses and Elijah are passing the baton on to Jesus. In reality, what they were there to say is, Lord, what you began in us is now finally being fulfilled in you. Moses and Elijah were there too as witnesses. All the law, all the prophets would see their fulfillment in Christ. Now, can you imagine what was going on in the minds of Peter, James, and John? Well, good old Peter. That's my boy, Peter. Peter and I have both the same disease. Open mouth, insert foot, repeat. He opens his mouth and says, Lord, I got a great plan. We'll build 3 tents up here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, and then we can basically hang out here forever. Well, good times are good times, and we don't want them to end. When we have so-called mountaintop experiences, something of great joy, we want to hold on to it as long as possible. We know what Jesus did for us. We know it's important, but here and now can sometimes be more important. Sometimes it takes a bit of a shock to get us to recognize what matters, and a shock is coming. The shock factor in the story is there's yet another witness. The text says, then a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and a voice came from the cloud, this is my son whom I love, listen to him. God the Father not only affirms Jesus' identity as a divine Christ, but in fact tells the disciples and us to reconsider their senses of priorities, that Jesus came to accomplish what was of most importance. Listen to him. They then had to come down from the mountain for Jesus to be betrayed, beaten, a crown of thorns put on his head, and ultimately die on the cross. PhD astrophysicist Laura Whitlock estimates that there's approximately 1,021 stars in our galaxy. And we know each one of those was put into the sky by our Heavenly Father. Among the clusters of stars made by this God, one grouping is the Milky Way. And on the edge of that galaxy, on a dwarf yellow star, are 9 small insignificant planets, of which Earth is the third one. The amazing God Creator chose to be born on that planet at that time and place. It's incredible to think that God went up on a mountaintop to pray, just to give his followers a glimpse of his identity. Then God climbed back down that mountain hillside to suffer and die on the cross for you and for me. And beloved, it is good for us to know that he did it because he loves us. Who died for you? Jesus, the God who made you and loved you enough to give his life for you. May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.